News Radio 930 WBEN.
It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
We are going to do nothing but gossip today. Gossip, gossip, gossip on News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly and Bellavia. It is midweek. It feels like winter out there. And David, we have a very special guest who's going to be joining us at about 5:15 this afternoon.
And I got to give Bishop Malone a tremendous amount of respect and kudos, because I'll tell you what. He said he was going to do this. He said he was going to be transparent and answer the tough questions. And on a day like today, I think these are pretty tough questions. We have the president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops opening a national meeting. And on Monday, they said they weren't going to do what everyone expected them to do, which was to vote on proposed steps to address what many think is a serious problem. Plague on the Catholic Church, these clergy sex abuse, a crisis, and they were supposed to do this first thing on Monday,
right?
Was to vote and let's propose ways that we can either mitigate this or prevent it in the future. And out of nowhere, the president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops is like, yeah, we're going to do this in a couple months.
And we will talk with Bishop Malone of Buffalo about that delay. But it's good to see the pontiff of the Roman Catholic Church on top of things. Pope is on top of what's happening in the United States.
I got to tell you, that is just such horrible. I mean, I understand there were times during the 2016 election where Hillary Clinton made some of the most reckless, unforced errors you've ever seen. I mean, no counterpunch, no right. plan. Like, she fell off the, you know, literally a canoe. She stood up in a canoe and fell overboard with no plan to get back into the boat. But the Pope, this is a really stupid, stupid statement. Even if it wasn't, and, you know, the media is going to do what they can to make the Pope look foolish. But I don't believe, even if he had a series of statements, this pull quote is ridiculous.
The Pope, while the bishops are conferring, while the American church is in a state of severe upheaval, while there is talk of a class action lawsuit to get the names of accused priests released and recompense or compensation for the victims of clergy sex abuse, the Pope of the Catholic Church picks today to address the seething issue of gossip. Gossip.
Gossip. I'm not.
It's
no
like George Harrison, the Devil's Radio song from the 80s.
This is no exaggeration. The Pope today quoted, you know, as of all to address all the issues. Now, understand, in the Catholic Church, this, what the Pope says goes. I mean, the Pope could single-handedly make changes right now for the church. Everyone's going at Bishop Malone. Everyone wants to scream at this bishop or that cardinal. The Pope is running the entire church.
Forget the calls for Malone to resign. I think this Pope ought to resign. I think he's incompetent. If I was Catholic, I would be embarrassed. Pope Francis, again, I think that we have set the stage here. I think we've given you the backdrop, not that you don't know it, of what is going on in terms of the upheaval and the trembling in the Roman Catholic Church in the United States. But this is the story out of Vatican City, David. Pope Francis is denouncing not child molesters, no, not pedophiliac priests, no.
Tobacco?
No, not even tobacco.
Fossil fuels.
Pope Francis is denouncing gossip as a form of terrorism. How about diddling little boys? Isn't that also a form of terrorism?
How about Pope Francis denouncing terrorism as terrorism? When the hell is it? Where has he been during the ISIS scandal?
I have no idea.
I mean, you got people getting their heads lopped off because they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Pope is silent about this?
Pope Francis has decided today, David,
but
to
gossip.
Denounce gossip. Gossip. Gossip.
Zarqawi told me that you are still drinking, even though you swore off alcohol. What do you mean? How is gossip terrorism?
Well, it's a form of terrorism, David, and the Pope is warning the faithful against telling lies. Oh, like you mean this priest is A-okay to have around little kids? That would be a lie. Francis explored the Catholic commandment against bearing false witness during his Wednesday general audience. David, of all of the times for the Pope of the Catholic Church to denounce bearing false witness, it seems to me that this is pretty much about the worst time, because it could be interpreted by somebody who is a victim or who knows a victim of clergy sexual abuse that perhaps the Pope doesn't believe the claims being made against the priests of his church. Of all the times to be talking about bearing false witness, today. Well, the optics, the PR is just terrible on this.
Well, the PR is, but at the same time, I think the Pope is trying to lay a foundation as the leader of the church. Now, I'm playing Pope advocate, all right? So I'm saying that
I'm playing avocatus diaboli.
If the Pope is trying to lay a foundation by saying, listen, I'm saying right now to lie is akin to killing, which is what he said. He said that the tongue kills like a knife, and to bear false witness is the equivalent of, don't forget, this is how he ends it, don't forget, to gossip is to kill. And gossipers are terrorists because with their tongues they drop a bomb and then leave. And the bomb they drop destroys reputations everywhere, Dr. Ford. Wait, no, but then he goes on to say that to gossip is to kill. Now think about this. You're laying down this bedrock that any priest, any bishop, any cardinal that does not tell the truth from here on out, you are now akin to ISIS. But also, if you are saying that you were touched by a priest and weren't, you are akin to ISIS. I just think that that statement should have been made in probably 1962, when terrorism wasn't people literally blowing themselves up and everything else. And the second thing is that this is horrible timing to have the bishops in the North America essentially punt on the issue of voting for new rules.
Right.
The Pope needs to issue this guidance 5 days from yesterday.
I honestly don't understand from where this guy is coming. I mean, I don't have to worry about it much, but I mean, it's just, it doesn't happen to be my particular cup of tea. But for the Pope not directly address what is going on in the United States, I've never seen the kind of... I've never seen what we're seeing right now taking place in the Catholic Church, just as an outsider. And for the Pope to not directly address it with all of these bishops together, one of whom we're going to be speaking with in just 2 hours from right now, the Bishop of Buffalo, Richard Malone, it boggles the mind, David.
Well, here's the thing. The Catholic Church is under assault. It's under assault. There are people, regardless of the scandal of the clergy sex abuse, there are people that have long wanted the Catholic Church to go away, what it represents.
This is true.
The way they get involved in politics, the way that they're used as a voting bloc. It's not as strong as a voting bloc as it was maybe 30 years ago, but it's still a voting bloc. And it's a voting bloc, believe it or not, that votes Democrat more than Republican, which is really shocking when you consider the values of the Catholic Church. But it's not so shocking when you see elected officials who claim to be Catholic.
Right.
So you got to put that in a juxtaposition. But here it is. The Catholic Church, you're being assaulted by people who want to bankrupt you and destroy your teaching. And at that time, your Pope is essentially saying, I'll play the fiddle.
I honestly, in other words, a good Nero reference, by
Thank
the way,
as much.
Nero fiddled as Rome burned.
That's right.
So, I mean, we have to ask the question, is the Pope just woefully out of touch?
Or is he perhaps has an interest in destroying the institution of the church?
Or is he setting up an argument that people who are accusing priests and others within the church of sexual improprieties, maybe they're lying? Maybe they're gossiping.
Do you think at least 70% of the group that is screaming for Bishop Malone to set himself afire in Niagara Square, do you think at least 70% of those people can look at a statement like this and say, what really does the bishop have power over? I mean, you want to say that Bishop Malone was disconnected, that he wasn't, savvy with the media, he didn't come out and immediately address Charlie Speck and all the other people around? Well, this is the leader of the church. I mean, you might as well give a statement on how, football gambling is wrong as well.
Is this like throwing a Hail Mary?
No, but to me, this is more about just, again, this guy's talking about environmental issues as the Pope. I mean, even if he addressed the wildfires in California, at least you could say he's on topic. You know, it fits to his narrative of we need to be more respectful of the earth. Wildfires, people's lives are destroyed. Surely a Catholic lost their house in the wildfires. No. He's not talking about anything happening in the world. He's talking about Gossip Girl.
I don't, you know what? It's very seldom that I find myself speechless, but of all of the days, of all of the times, this was not the statement to be making. I think he needed to directly address the allegations of abuse. I think he needed to directly address the talk that there may be a class action lawsuit to get the names of accused priests released. And by the way, class action lawsuit, anybody out there listening, you ever get one of those postcards in the mail saying you bought a jelly bean 18 years ago and it turns out that the jelly bean could give you cancer? So you are now part of an aggrieved class of people. Fill out the paperwork and when the settlement comes in, you'll be compensated. And what happens in these class action lawsuits, as near as I can figure out, is the people of the aggrieved class get a check for $5.78 and the law firm that gets the case, they walk away with the $50 million. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but that's what it seems like to me. I mean, I don't think I've ever gotten a check for more than $8 in a so-called class action lawsuit. So I think you're better off suing as an individual plaintiff.
Do you believe that? I mean, listen, there's a lot of when you look at the socialism, it's not even real socialism. Everyone talks about Marxism as if these are real Marxists. Antifa is not full of Marxists. They're cultural Marxists. They don't understand Marxism. I mean, understand that the very idea of being a anti-government would get you killed by the Soviet regime. You couldn't be you couldn't run around saying no government is good government in a communist government. They would murder you. You also, when you look at the educated in a communist take over, what happens to the educated?
They are done away with. The intelligentsia are done away with. The professionals. And by the way, the clerics are often done away with.
We get rid of religion, we get rid of the arts, and we get rid of education. Why is that? I mean, that is the basis of the left in today. I mean, the very extreme nature of the far left is at war with much of the middle of America. Just as the far right, by the way, is at war with much of the middle of America. Extremism on both sides is horrible. But when you have a pope in the middle of a scandal, and many have argued that this guy is as he's talking about capitalism, right, at the pulpit. He's talking that, you know, how many things has the pope said is evil, by the way? There are very few things that this Pope Francis has gone on record saying, this is evil. It's gossip and it's capitalism.
Evil.
Those are the evil things, according to this pope. I mean, he's talked about the sexual assaults and the crisis and everything else, but he's really outspoken when it comes to global warming, capitalism, the U.S. stock market, and now gossiping.
So is the pope just terribly out of touch? I mean, I don't know who advises the pope. I don't know if he's got like an interior decorator.
Evidently, George Costanza is the one who's... I mean, this is just like totally out of left field. This makes no sense.
To me, it makes no sense. And I got to tell you, what I would like least about it, if I was a bishop, I would not like the position as a bishop that this statement puts me in. Because, again, you are in Baltimore. You are trying to rectify a very serious situation. You're trying to figure out a way forward, a path forward. Your revenue streams are dying. You've got people who don't want to give to the church because they don't want everything they give to just end up in the pockets of somebody who was abused by some priest back in 1978.
Well, but again, I don't know the number here. I'm looking it up as we speak. But what percentage of the Vatican's, you know, treasury is because of North America? If you took Canada and the United States and Mexico and said, all right, all the dues that are coming from these Catholic churches and are going to the Vatican coffers, that's a pretty good chunk of change. Don't you think that more Catholic charity, more money is given to the Vatican from the United States than any other country?
I wouldn't know, but based on relative wealth, I would have to assume that the United States is the biggest single contributor of money to the Catholic Church. I'm sure that information's available on the internet.
There may be more Catholics per capita in other countries, but the cost of living and the gross domestic product of the United States by far the world's top.
Right. Well, if you're,
so less Catholics, but more income.
If you're Roman Catholic in Mexico, you don't have $100 a week to give to the Catholic Church because you don't have $100 a week for your own family.
And that's not a statement about Mexicans.
No,
a statement
no.
About
I've been to Mexico enough to say it's a very poor country.
Right. No. So, but my point is that the United States has given a ton of money to the Vatican. You would think there would be some sort of accountability. And by the way, what the Pope really just did is he threw these Catholic bishops under the bus.
That's right.
And
amen.
So now guess what's going to happen? Bishop Malone's got to go on local Buffalo radio and get kicked around by a bunch of people that are saying, why don't you do more? And your Pope is holding press conferences talking about, you know, should the California Angels still be allowed to use that nickname because of their sacrilege?
We're being somewhat facetious here in case you
didn't
figure
that out. Gossip is terrorism? I mean, come on. We all hate gossip, but let's not equate it with the 9/11.
I mean, all you have to do is just listen to the George Harrison song, Devil's Radio, and that's what the Pope said today. Okay? Not in so many words, but pretty much in so many words. Yep, and that's pretty much what the Pope talked about today. The American church is in upheaval over all of the claims about clergy sexual abuse, and the Pope of the Catholic Church decides to call gossip the equivalent of terrorism today. Your response, of course, is welcome. We're going to be talking with the Bishop of Buffalo, and you know, I agree with what David said. I think this statement by the Pope threw the bishops meeting in Baltimore under the bus, really, and kind of left them all by themselves to face the music and face the heat. And Bishop Malone is going to be joining us at 5:15 here on News Radio 930 WBEN. So you can't make this stuff up. You really can't. The Pope of the Catholic Church, of all of the days, of all of the times in the church history, says today that gossip is a form of terrorism, is warning the faithful against telling lies. Francis explored the Catholic commandment against bearing false witness during his Wednesday general audience. He warned the faithful in a chilly St. Peter's Square that we all live by communicating. We're all continuously on the edge between truth and lies. Gossip kills. Because the tongue kills like a knife. If I was the Pope right now, I'd probably keep the word tongue out of the lexicon. Gossipers are terrorists because with their tongues, they drop a bomb and then leave. That's happened here sometimes. And the bomb they drop destroys reputations everywhere. I mean, I never thought the Pope would talk about crop dusting, but there it is. They drop a bomb and then they leave. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I mean, what would you tell the Pope right about now? And with the bishop coming up at 5:15, you know, we asked you guys the last time we talked with the bishop. This is getting to be a regular thing for us. But we asked you guys the last time we talked to the bishop the questions you wanted us to ask the bishop. Obviously, the first question we have to ask the bishop today is your boss, is the big man in Rome, the Holy Father, is he out of touch? I cannot believe the words I'm reading out of Vatican City because from a reality standpoint, I think that if I was a bishop, I'd kind of feel like, well, I wouldn't kind of feel, I would feel as though I've been totally thrown under the bus. This is a time, I thought the church, David, was going to come clean. I thought this was the time the church was going to come clean so it could start over. And so it could put these charges and all of these jokes that have been around for so many years, except they weren't jokes to the people who were busy being molested, so we can put that to bed. But instead of coming out with a ballsy statement, the Pope comes from nowhere, comes right out of left field, literally and figuratively, and starts talking about gossip. I don't get it.
It's not very. It's not good leadership. It's poor leadership. It's poor stewardship.
I think the Pope ought to resign.
You know, I don't know. I'm not a Catholic.
Forget about the bishops resigning. The Pope ought to resign.
You know what? He may be an incredible spiritual leader, and that's really what he's called to do.
But if nobody's going to your church, you got nothing to lead.
Well, listen, there is a political role that the Pope plays. And in the past, other popes have, you know, usually chosen the Western world and democracy. And
freedom. Like Pope John Paul II was a personal hero. Now, Pope John Paul II, he got it.
Yeah, but he also went up against communism.
Indeed.
And he was unafraid to go up against communism. He was unafraid to talk about communists in Poland. You know, and also, you know, the sins of the church at that time, there was a lot of talk of the Vatican during World War II, and Pope John Paul had to address issues of that nature. There were other allegations made that the church was somehow anti-Jew during World War II and ignored the Holocaust. This is a scam, but they, again, the church got in front of the story at a time before there was mass media, got in front of the story enough to say, here's our position, this is what, you know, this is our position, here's where we go forward. This is the exact opposite of that. This is not showing progress. There is no evolution here. And the Pope is the one that can unilaterally fix this. It's not like, you know, he's the president of the church where he has got two bodies of, you know, the bishops in Congress and the cardinals in the Senate. This is the Pope. He's a dictator. He could literally change policy overnight.
If you wanted to. But put yourself, David, I mean, like I'm trying to put myself in two different positions, actually three different positions, but I'm trying to put myself in the position of the Pope, and for the life of me, I can't figure out from where he's coming. I really don't, because if he is this detached from reality, if he is this delusional about the state of the Roman Catholic Church in the United States, he is not a fit leader of the Catholic Church. I'm putting myself in the position of some kid who was molested by a priest, whether it was in the 1970s, the 1980s, or whether it was last week, and expecting some kind of moral leadership and the moral authority that comes from the Holy See, only to get a lecture about gossip. Then I'm putting myself in the position of Bishop Malone. And I got to tell you, as you pointed out, David, a lot of people think that bishops have a lot more power than bishops really do, or that cardinals have more power than cardinals really do. The top guy is the top guy, and the top guy is the Pope. And if I was a bishop, I would definitely feel like I'd just been thrown under the bus. Because, I mean, yeah. they've got to face all of the media that are covering the conference. Our own bishop, Richard Malone, is going to be joining us live at 5:15. And what do you think our first question is going to be? Is it going to be about gossip? Who cares about gossip? Who cares about bearing false witness at this point?
Well, let me tell you, if Bishop Malone would have come on this radio station and said, I understand all the people that are hurt, I understand the suffering that's been caused, but I want to talk about the real evil amongst us, and it's people telling stories about other people behind their backs, he would be run out of town.
Absolutely.
There would be no, that is not a rational statement to make, especially when you know every question is going to be on what happened in North America and why were the bishops told, you know, that had to come from the Vatican, did it not? You think the bishops got together and decided we're not going to vote on this for months?
I got nothing.
Nobody is making a unilateral decision. I mean, that's a question we can ask the bishop. Is it possible that the Council of Bishops of North America can make a decision that contradicts what the Pope wants? Because if that's the case, it doesn't seem like the Pope does have a lot of power, and maybe the bishop should do more.
So, I mean, what do you want to see happen here? Is one of our questions. What should we ask the bishop when he was on? What would your message to the Pope be? I mean, I cannot believe that a guy who rises to the position of pontiff of the Roman Catholic Church, I mean, if you believe in apostolic succession, I mean, he would trace his papacy all the way back through a line of succession all the way back to St. Peter.
Or did the Pope just basically ask CNN to repent? I mean, is that what the Pope just did? Did the Pope just make a statement about fake news?
He did talk about fake news.
Is everyone who lies about the Russia investigation and lies about voter fraud and lies about all the other things that we've heard people lying about, maybe the Pope made a statement today and told people, hey, people at CNN and MSNBC.
But, you know, there's a time and a place for everything. And, yeah, there is a time, I think, where the Pope can make a very good point when he talks about bearing false witness. There is a time when the Pope can make a very good point about lies and the dangers of lying. This isn't that time. This is a time where the Pope has got to realize the church is in an absolute crisis. When you have lifelong Catholics, David, calling into this radio show and other radio shows I hear on this radio station, calling into Sandy Beach and his show when he touches on this and say, hey, look, for the longest time, I was a faithful Catholic. You know, I was there every day. I went to Mass every single day, or I never missed a single Sunday. But ever since this scandal, I couldn't be bothered. I couldn't care less about the Catholic Church, and they've deserted the faith. When you've got this exodus out of the church and what I'm sure has to be a severely declining revenue stream into the church. This is a time for strong leadership. This is the time for a succinct and definite statement about sexual abuse in the church and how specifically the victims of it are going to be compensated and how the guilty are going to be punished. It's not a time to talk about this. This isn't the day for that. It would be like us going on the air today doing a show about, hey, what's your favorite hobby? Give us a call, 803-0930. Which to some people might be better than talking about this, but
I think they would actually like it. But no, but listen though, honestly, think about this though. What if he is laying the groundwork to say, we are serious about fixing this because I just told everyone that if they lie, they go to hell. I mean, really. I hope that he thinks that terrorists are the lowest form of humanity. I think many Americans would argue that pedophiles are probably lower than a terrorist. Right?
I'd put them both in. I think they deserve each other.
I think, it's horrible.
I want to see terrorists blow up pedophiles.
But my point is that he's using terrorism as saying these are the most despicable amongst us. And by the way, gossip is akin to that. That's how serious it is. Don't lie. Don't bear false witness. It's worse than going out there and killing someone physically. But is that because he wants to now say, I'm telling the truth because I just said if I'm lying, I am like a terrorist. So now everything I say must be looked at like if I'm not telling you the truth, I don't belong in the kingdom of heaven. If that is where he's going with this, it's clunky and it's clumsy and it's nuanced, but I can at least respect it.
Or is this some kind of an admonition to people who might step forward with new allegations of priest sexual abuse? You know, well, maybe I shouldn't step forward because maybe people will think I'm one of those evil terrorist liars, one of those evil terrorist gossipers.
Again, I think that even if, you know, the Catholic Church is a global church, and he doesn't just speak to American Catholics. If he did, he'd speak English all the time. There's people of all cultures that are part of the Holy Church. And if the Catholics today, let's say he was speaking to Brazilians, you know, because there's a huge gossip problem in Tanzania that we don't know about, and he's talking to these people, it just looks bad because of what the bishops are going through in North America right now.
So, I mean, I wonder if people are going through a crisis of confidence in their church. I always wonder how many people are becoming new Catholics or how many old Catholics are leaving the church because of this kind of stuff. Any way you slice it, today's statement, it's just the timing. The sentiment might be good, but the timing is absolutely atrocious. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Where are you guys on this? We've talked about it a lot. It's kind of hard to ignore it when little kids have a history of being sexually abused on such a large scale. And then, you know, you hear the grown-ups, of course, who were child sexual abuse survivors, and it is something that never goes away. Once you are the victim of a pedophile, you are, unfortunately, scarred for life. And no matter how together somebody might seem, you have no way of knowing. Once somebody is sexually abused as a child, you have no way of knowing how deep those incisions are into the soul and psyche, mind, body, and spirit of a human being. It is something, I mean, you know what? A heart attack goes away. Heart surgery heals. Pedophilia, being the victim of pedophilia, that never goes away. That always stings, and it never gets better. Well, okay, it gets better if you can adjust your mind accordingly, but nothing can ever restore your innocence. That never gets better. Let's go to Will in Holland. My mom at Iron Maiden. That would be awesome. I would pay to see that. In fact, I will pay to make her go to Iron Maiden. Okay, here's Will in Holland on WBEN. Will.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Just a little thought, food for thought here. Why is this even the church's responsibility? If this had happened, all of this abuse had happened in a school district, I wouldn't be going to the school board. I'd be going to the police. So my question here is, what is the... because the police are responsible to enforce the laws. If this is a crime that happened against a child, shouldn't the police be involved?
Yeah, the police cannot cut $1 million checks.
True. Got it. I mean, there's
I mean, that's the truth. It's not about justice. It's about proactivity. Right. It's, to me, this is all about atonement. It's not about justice. If it was about justice, you're absolutely right. They would go to law enforcement. They would file with the DA, and we'd see a lot of people behind bars, and we would hear about a lot of convicted ex-priests. But we're not. We're hearing about people that want lawsuits.
Well, I want to see both, though. I want to see the victims compensated. And by the way, I'm not a big fan, as I said earlier, of these class action lawsuits, because the lawyers get rich, and the people who actually got abused will probably end up with a $2 check. At least that's any class action lawsuit I've ever been a part of. That's what seems to happen. The law firm gets the money, and the victims get pretty much squat.
But hold on. There are.
But I want to see them in prison, too.
But if there was criminal activity that was done, and you make a deal where you're going to get $2 million and not go to the authorities, you know, but I don't know of anything that is, you know, you make a deal in a court case, you committed a felony. You need to go to prison. There's no deal that you can make if you've molested 37 people. I mean, those people have a right to see justice. They have a right to present evidence, get you in front of a grand jury. But a lot of people are just taking the money and they don't really care about anything else.
Well, you know what? I can't put myself in the shoes of somebody who had to endure such degradation as a child being victimized by somebody that they should be able to trust and love in a holy and pure way. I understand that.
But you can't talk about justice when you're talking about lawsuits.
Well,
no such animal.
But it's the only, you know what, as far as compensation, the only way to compensate the victims is with good old-fashioned American currency. But I also believe that maybe what we need is a law that says, look, just because somebody settles out of court doesn't mean that the civil authorities cannot get involved and prosecute.
Absolutely. But I'm just saying, I don't think there's any amount of money that can repay someone from being molested. I don't think I would take $1 billion to be in a position where, as a child, defenseless child, an adult taking advantage of me in that way, I don't think $1 billion is enough. So certainly, you're never going to get justice with money. It's just, it make you feel better.
But you won't get justice, but you'll get compensation. At least you'll get something.
I understand, but to me, it's to get money in your pocket for the damage that you endured and put that guy in prison for the rest of his life.
But, of course, we're also dealing, Will, as you know, with the statute of limitations in the criminal situation. Hold on if you would like to add to what you said.